Good morning. It's so good to be with you. Ministering this morning from God's playbook in the context of the Friday night service, we've started a new sermon series called God's Playbook, Game Plan of Life. A lot of people are relating and responding very well because of football. And everyone has a tie. I know everyone isn't a football fanatic, but there are a lot of the parallels with the game of football. So you're going to hear a lot of analogies this morning. But before we go any further, let's just bow our heads for a brief moment of prayer. Moment of prayer. Gracious God, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And we thank you now for this gift, this opportunity, Lord, to worship and to connect with you through the preached word. Lord, anoint me afresh and anew. Speak to me, through me, and for me. And have your way, O Lord, in the context of this service. Now, O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are my rock and my radical redeemer. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 So once again, in brief, game plan, God's playbook, game plan of life. There are two scriptures that I'm going to share with you this morning, and I'll weave other scriptures in. So if you're taking notes, pay attention to those additional supporting scriptures. The first is Romans 8 and 28. We all know this is a very familiar verse. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8 and 28. And the second scripture comes from the book of Psalm, from the 139th Psalm, verse 13 through 16. Listen carefully to these words. It says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body." Catch this now. "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them ever came to be." All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them ever came to be. That's very powerful. It suggests for us that God has a plan, that God has a playbook, if you will, that entails all the days of our lives. How many of you believe that God actually has a plan in store, that it entails our lives? And that's powerful, and that's kind of where this whole series was born from, that God has a playbook, and God has a game plan for life, and so the church ought to have a playbook. You and I ought to have a game plan for life. And we'll get further along in just a minute, but before we go any further, the significance of plan is very important. It matters not how young you are or old you are, and I came across this story, and I want to share it with you. The story was told of a 90-year-old lady who was being reported. News media flooded the church at her wedding. She was 90 years old when she got married. And this, my friends, was her fourth wedding. And so when the news reporters came, they were just in awe about this lady getting married at age 90. And they asked, "Well, how did this all come about?" And she says, "Well, I had a plan." And she says, "In my 20s, I married a banker. He was very, very wealthy, and he died at age 40. And after that, I married a circus ringleader, world-renowned entertainer, and he was very good at what he did, and I had a lot of good moments with him. And after he died, I married a preacher. And the preacher could preach the hell up out of you. I mean, he was just a revivalist kind of a preacher. And fourthly, I'm marrying today a funeral home director." And so the news media was just going bananas, like, "What are you, okay, I mean, did you have a plan?" She says, "Yes, I had a plan. Everyone should have a plan. One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, four for the go." In essence, friends, we should all have a plan for life. Amen, church? And not just a plan for life, but a plan for living more fully the Christian life. Amen, church? Come on, get the amens ready. Put the oil on them right now because I'm going to need them. Alan Lincoln says it this way, "Planning is bringing the future into the present so you can do something about it now. Planning is bringing the future into the present so you can do something about it now. One of my favorite leadership gurus, John C. Maxwell, says it this way: if we fail to plan, in actuality, we're actually planning to fail. Did you catch that? If we fail to plan, we're actually planning to fail. So it's very important that you and I have a plan for living more fully the Christian life. One more supporting scripture comes from Proverbs 19 and 21, and it is, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. It's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Once again, God's prayer book, Game Plan for Life. Just as God has a special plan, every football coach also has something known as a special playbook. And in that playbook details all of the plays for the offense as well as the defense. Special teams, punting teams, returning teams, kickoff teams. Every plan is detailed in this playbook. And so week in and week out, the coaches are looking at tape and looking at film, and they're studying their playbook, trying to come up with strategies to defeat their opponents. Amen, church. And that's kind of what we saw trying to take place last night. We were not that successful, but at least we tried. We get an A for effort. We'll leave it there. Anyway, so just like every coach has a playbook with special plays, God also has a playbook with special plans and preparations for our lives. And it's found in the Bible. The Bible is God's playbook. It's God's special plan for our lives. And just like every coach brings to the team a skill set, every player has to bring to the coach a skill set. And when the two mix and marry, they make up the team. Are you with me so far? So we have to participate, and so this morning I really just want to share three simple things of what would serve God's team well. The first is a why. You're taking notes, a why. W-H-Y. What is important about a why? A why really speaks to the whole notion of understanding your purpose. Why are you here? Why have you been fearfully and wonderfully made? What is your purpose? What is your significance for being on this planet? In other words, what's your calling? It was Steve Harvey who was preaching just a couple of weeks ago on TBN, and he says the two most powerful moments of your life is the day you were born and the day you discovered why. Why are we here? And we thank God because God helps us understand, I know the plans that I have for you. Jeremiah 29 and 11. Plans to give you a future and what? A hope. And so God helps us to understand that He is ultimately the responsible for us being here. So He answers the question of why. But the second thing that you're going to need if you're going to be an effective teammate on God's team is a will. A will. What do you mean, David? A will. I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you right quick what I mean regarding the will. A will speaks to the internal fortitude of your faith. Every athlete, before he walks on the field, he knows it's something in him special and significant that can play this game and that can play it well. If I'm a quarterback, I know I can serve well. If I'm a running back, I know I can run well. If I'm a linebacker, I know I can tackle well. I have something in me greater than the challenges that may be facing me. And so the will speaks to the internal fortitude that we all bring to the table because of our faith in our Creator. Amen, church? So we all need this whole notion of will. Not only just a why, but also a will. And the third point this morning is we also need a work. We need a work. Once you have the answer to the why and the will, that inner fortitude and faith, they spill over into your work. In the book of James, listen at this, it says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is what? It's dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds.
Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. In other words, if we're going to be successful in participating in God's playbook of life, if we're going to be effective teammates on God's team as it relates to the kingdom of God, we need a why, a will, and more so, we need a work. We have to work our strategies as serving in the kingdom. We have to work beyond what we desire and more towards what God desires. Amen, church? So it spills over into your work. There's another scripture reference that I want to share with you before I move on here. And it's John 9:4. And it says, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no man can work. Another text where Jesus is ministering, he says, he asks the questions, who are my brothers and my sisters? And he says, my brothers and my sisters are they who what? Who do the will. In other words, who do the work of my Father. So we need a why, we need a will, and we need a work. And friends, I've been wrestling with this analogy as I hasten to a close. I've been wrestling with this analogy of the audible. How many of you have kids, teenagers, and they own video games, Xbox, PlayStations? Oh boy, okay, let me help you out here. In the world of PlayStation video games, there's something called the audible. And my nephew Maurice, whenever he comes up, whenever I go down, he's looking to beat me in Madden football. And so we would get around the screen and we'll start playing Madden football, and I'm trying to out strategize him, and he's trying to outplay me with this joystick, and he knows it well because that's really all he does is sit in front of a TV and plays with this joystick. And every now and then I pick it up, but I really don't know all of the new moves. And so what he'll do, sometimes I have him cornered and pressured, and what my brother will do is he'll click the audible button. You know what the audible button is? The audible button is when your opponent's team is already fixed and set, you can click audible, and all of a sudden it rearranges the play. And so you thought it was a run route, but now because I've clicked audible, it's now becoming a pass route. And it outsmarts your opponent every time. And when I was thinking about this message, God just gives me all of these crazy illustrations and ideas, and God is saying, leave the church to pray for me for the audible. Pray for me for the audible, that when things seem as if they're just not working out, and I have now a bad report from the doctor, and I'm now faced with bankruptcy, and I'm now going through all of these challenges and circumstances, we trust that God is going to click the audible button. And though it may be fixed, and though it may seem as if this is it, God will click an audible on your behalf, and before you know it, we'll get these kind of results. We'll get these kind of results, friends. This is an expression of God using the church as his new audible button. You say, David, that sounds all well and good, but David, what happens when our plans don't work out? You know, I've been believing God by faith and tithing and sowing seed in the ministry and trying my best to stay on the straight and the narrow. And guess what? She just got up and she left me. I was safer than ever. She wasn't safer than me. What happens, David? I raised my child in the right standard and form of the Christian faith. And all of a sudden, after he left for college, he never came back. What happens, David? I invested in this 401 plan, and Madoff came and took all my money. I'm 7 years old, and I don't have retirement. What happens when our plans don't work out? Well, Romans 8:28, it gives us good news. It says, all things work together for the good of those who love God and who've been called according to his purpose and his will. And so when your plans don't work out, the good news this morning is I can trust that I have a coach in the upper box who is not on the playing field with me, but he's all above me, and he can see my opponent's plays, and he can see what I need to do. And God will call an audible for the church. Help me in here this morning. And that audible will get you to the end zone. Amen, church? Oh, y'all ain't with me this morning. So the church today is the Lord's audible. God uses us. He uses us to combat poverty. He uses us to combat age. He's using you and I right now as an audible. And God also was in this jam of when plans didn't work out. You remember in the garden of Adam and Eve, in the garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they ate the forbidden fruit. God had a fixed plan set just for them. And even God's plan was upset, wasn't it? It was the fall of man. But what did God do? God called an audible. God sent his son called Jesus, and it took 42 generations. And through 42 generations, Jesus has now come. And he's now on the playing field with us, even in the form of the Holy Spirit, giving us everything we need to fight the good fight of faith. God had to call an audible. And so the church today, we're not finished yet. The game isn't over. It feels like fourth quarter, but the game isn't over. And you know, in fourth quarter, I watch players, you know, they get hyped in fourth quarter. They start jumping and they're ready to really give it their best hit and give it all they got. You know, the church needs that kind of attitude. Because we're in fourth quarter. In other words, Courtney and I were laughing about this. It's time to put your game face on. Everybody has a game face when the going gets tough. Come on, everybody has a game face. The church has to put its game face on because we have some significant challenges still today. Richard Stearns often, when we, Andrew and I went to Washington, and Richard Stearns gave us five significant things that the church fumbles over, just like the game of football. Sometimes you'll do a well play, and then other times you drop the ball. Richard Stearns says we need to continue to pray because the church in several areas dropping the ball. We're fumbling. He says sometimes we put belief over behavior. Secondly, he says sometimes we put exhortation over, we replace exhortation, praise and honor of God, we replace that with explanation. Thirdly, we've turned outward as opposed to inward. He has several more, and I won't do them all, but I will give you two more. He says we also have the habit of putting the institution of man over the revolution of the kingdom of God. What does this mean? It means that we have some praying to do. We have some crying out to the Lord to do. We have to ask God, God, send your audible. Use me to be your audible. In closing, he also gave us, what can we do? He gave us four things that we can do. No matter how old you are, how young you are, everyone can participate in these four things as I hasten to a close. And the four are, the first thing that we can do is pray. Everyone can devote time in your schedule for prayer. Secondly, we can act. And this is an example of the church acting very well. Give yourselves a hand, by the way, for this. This is very, very good. Thirdly, we can give of our time, our talents, our gifts, our witness, and our service. And fourthly, we can influence. We can influence by being willing to serve as God's audible of the 21st century. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much for the joy of this moment. We thank you so much for you using the church as your audible. Lord, there may be someone here today who does not know which way to go. Reveal yourself as shepherd and Lord to them. Teach them that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And you said, all who call on your name shall be saved. God, if there is someone here this morning who does not know you as Savior and Lord, who's drowning in doubt, suffering in fear, God, we pray, O Lord, that they'll receive Christ in their hearts and trust you more fully. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for all things. Amen.